This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The madness is back! And so are we, of course. I just got a tweet from a listener who was hoping that I would be hosting the show. He was hoping. No need to hope when it's March Madness. It's March Madness, for heaven's sakes. Our show is not optional during March Madness. Some people don't have to come to work during March Madness, but not us. We're here, and we're proud to be here. And I hope you had a chance to watch the games tonight, at least some of them or some of the action. If you did, awesome. Let's talk about it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Final show of the work week, so it's Friday. Oh, it's also a payday, which, you know, adds a little more spice. And it's always great when you can pay your bills. So hallelujah for that. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What did you think of the four teams who moved on to the Elite Eight? In Atlanta, we had really close games. In Los Angeles, we did not. But we got some really impressive performances by the two winners in Los Angeles. Rife with nerd alerts as well. Good stuff coming out of the left half of the bracket. If you're looking at it on a piece of paper or on the computer screen, the South and the West are on the left side. They're matched up together. We are down to the final four teams from Los Angeles and Atlanta, meaning Saturday will be the regional finals for a spot in the final four. Do you know the seeds remaining in the South are the 9 and the 11? That's never happened before. The South, the East, the Midwest, or the West. It's never happened that the final two seeds who will compete for a spot in the final four, in this case, it'll be the Atlanta region, never happened that the final two seeds still standing are a 9 and an 11.
Take that for data.
So both 5 and 7 were eliminated on Thursday night. Kentucky and Nevada, their runs are over. But Kansas State and Loyola, Sister Jean's team, which you know by now. Even if you know nothing about basketball, you know about Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt. She has become, as she points out, an international sensation. So the Ramblers, true Cinderella, small Catholic college in Chicago. They stick to the game plan, man. Against bigger athletes, guys who can leap out of buildings, they stick to the game plan. They may get bodied, they may get shoved around. But this is what I love about many mid-major teams. If they're well coached, they're disciplined, they're determined, they know how to persevere. They know how to push through. And they don't deviate. They stick to the plan. It's also helpful when you have upperclassmen like they do, like many mid-majors do who get to this point. And so Loyola and Kansas State in the South, and then Florida State, the Seminoles, into their first regional final since 1993. Congratulations to Leonard Hamilton and the Noles.
Nerd alert.
They took control of the game against Gonzaga. In the first half, there was a real balanced attack. And they had a lot of different guys scoring. There was no one in double figures at half. And they go on this spurt at the end of the first half with an 11-1 run. That's how they ended the first half. And because of that, they were able to give themselves a cushion and they stayed confident. They stayed calm. They stayed meticulous. They're so athletic. They're deep in their rotation against a team that was missing its second leading scorer in Killian Tilly, who had an injured hip. Gonzaga already with a shorter bench, and Florida State just wore him down. And so congratulations to the Seminoles, who will face the highest remaining seed on the left half of your bracket, the Big Ten champion Michigan Wolverines, who maybe had to shake off some rust in their first game, going way back to the battle against Montana. Remember, they didn't shoot well, and that kind of continued in the game against Houston until the buzzer beater, unbelievable moment for Jordan Poole last Saturday night. But there was no need for a buzzer beater for the Wolverines on Thursday. They were making it rain. It was an incredible performance. One of those where everybody is seemingly in the zone and the offense is scoring at will. So Michigan, the 3 seed, a pair of 9 seeds and an 11 seed will move on to the Elite Eight, the other half of the bracket to be completed on Friday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. For those of you who are in between affiliates or will soon be in between affiliates, we have our brand new home on Sirius XM, channel 206, across every platform. So you can chime in there and you'll reach us inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up in a half hour, we'll head to Los Angeles, where Florida State and Michigan survive. And we'll talk to Jim Jackson, who is a product of the Big Ten himself. He went to Ohio State and then spent 14 years in the NBA. But he's fresh off of the Westwood One broadcast. And watch these two dominant performances by the Noles and the Wolverines from courtside. And so we'll get to pick his brain a little bit when he joins us from L.A. That's coming up a half hour from now here on CBS Sports Radio.
Most exciting thing to happen tonight.
Kevin Harlan was there, but Kevin was doing TV, wasn't doing radio. However, I'm sure they were pretty close together. Couple of other facts that I love to drop on you. Nerdy ones, of course. Do you know it's just the fifth and sixth times? Yeah. It's the fifth and sixth times that you've had a 9 seed reach a regional final.
Nerd alert.
How about that? In the history of the NCAA tournament, coming into this year, in fact, coming into tonight, it only had ever happened 4 times in the past. And on the same night, Kansas State and Florida State both make it into a regional final. My theme for sports in 2018, fresh blood. We got it all over the place. It's good to see a team like the Seminoles use their own brand of basketball. Like I said, deep bench, athletic, try to keep fresh legs. They go 10 and 11 deep. And they just wore down Gonzaga. And Kansas State, oh my gosh. Beware of the other Wildcats. Certainly in Atlanta, a lot of Kentucky fans there. But those fans couldn't help the Wildcats hit more free throws. I'll just be honest. The game against Kansas State, or between Kansas State and Kentucky, at times was painful to watch. Here's my summary of the game between the Wildcats squared. Turnover, foul, whistle. Whistle, whistle, foul, turnover. Free throw, free throw, free throw, free throw. Turnover, foul, turnover, whistle, free throw.
Not the refs.
I mean, the refs were doing their jobs. It was really interesting to hear John Thompson, who was on the broadcast on Westwood One. I happened to be in my car for part of it. And he was talking about how the players had yet to adjust. But when they did, they started going to the hoop. Go to the hoop, go to the hoop, go to the hoop. Why? Because the refs were calling every little bit of contact. And once you know that the refs are calling it tight, well, you take advantage of that situation. You make it work for you. It was a lot of stoppages of play. And I don't know if you were keeping score at home. 51 fouls called. 51. And so this time of the year, free throws can make or break you. And in the case of both teams, it was painful at times. K-State actually had 3 guys foul out, including their high scorer. They were 14 of 22 for the line, from the charity stripe for the other Wildcats, Kentucky, 23 of 37. I mean, that's hard to process. It's hard to stomach when you lose a game by 3 points. Of course, they did have a couple of shots at the buzzer. We'll let you hear those final critical seconds in a second. Final critical seconds momentarily sounded better. But to lose a game by 3 points, so much riding on it, and to leave 14 points at the charity stripe hurts. It's the kind of thing that would keep me up at night when I missed free throws. So Kansas State, it was gritty. It was ugly at times. Right, so not aesthetically pleasing. It might remind you more of like a Syracuse-Michigan State game from last weekend. But what do we know about basketball? Whether it be college, whether it be pro, a win is a win is a win is a win. And despite the length, the reach, the height of the Kentucky Wildcats, when Kansas State needed a bucket late, it was a little guard who dared to venture into the paint.
Hand off, Brown between the circles, shovels it off left side, Sneed, shot fake, drives in, and goes right to the basket for two, and the Kansas State lead is 8. Brown dribbles in with the left hand, gets to the basket, and scores it!
What a shot.
Kansas State by 2 with 18 seconds left.
What a shot.
Puts up a 3 to tie, he missed it, and hit the backboard, and the rim, and fell off, and Kansas State is off to the Elite 8.
They make runs. We got, I don't know, 30 fouls. It seemed like everybody on our team was fouled out. We were playing with 6-4 and under, and they're one of the biggest teams in the country. But we got big rebounds down the stretch, big stops.
Oh, it ends abruptly. That's Kansas State head coach Bruce Weber. Sounds like he was cut off in the middle of a word. However, they were big stops, period. End of sentence. Yeah, it was one of those games that you go, oh, what? That's a lot of fouls. That's a lot of free throws. However, it was the same for both teams. And a win is a win is a win is a win. The big moment that you hear with Brandon Gaudin and John Thompson on the Westwood One Radio Network is Barry Brown, who drives in for a layup with 18 seconds left. The game was tied then. Makes that layup. And then Kentucky has a couple of shots at it at the other end before time expired. The first one was a terrible shot. It was just a air ball. And credit Kansas State. I'd say the Cats, but then you wouldn't know who I was talking about. Credit K-State for keeping Kentucky pushed out, for not allowing them a whole lot of space or room to drive, for forcing them into threes. And they're not a great shooting team from downtown. And then they did get a good look on the final possession, but it didn't go. So congratulations to Kansas State, who gets to a regional final for the first time since 2010. So a pair of 9 seeds in Florida State and K-State survive. But that just doesn't compete with the Cinderella run of Loyola Chicago. And we'll take you through that one against Nevada coming up next. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. Final show of the work week. I appreciate that many of you are sending me pictures of how you're listening, whether it's on SiriusXM, whether it's on your computer, whether you're just driving around and you're checking us out on one of our great affiliates. That's awesome, too. Always appreciate your tweets from around the country. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Oh, the madness on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
We're focused. We know that we have to play hard against every single team member. And I have to say this, there are too many microphones here today for me to give you the numbers of the guys, but I have a way of getting those to you. So just be alert, stay focused, use your heads and your hearts, and let's make that next game, our Elite 8. God bless us. Go Ramblers. And amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Part pregame scout, part pregame prayer from one Sister Jean, 98-year-old chaplain and nun for Loyola Chicago, the Ramblers. One of the great stories of this NCAA tournament. And yes, UMBC with some incredible history. We will never forget that victory over the overall number one seed. But for the Ramblers to have a spot in the Sweet 16 and now moving forward, continuing to play their brand of basketball that's steady. It's not that they have the best athletes. It's not that they have the tallest athletes, the longest athletes. They can't jump out of buildings, but they stick with the program. And I appreciate that about Porter Moser's team. Also,
and I have to say this. There are too many microphones here.
We know Sister Jean makes deals with God because she did tell us that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for letting me know where you are listening. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also our Facebook page, too. Some of you already weighing in on Facebook. I think sometimes you get nervous during games and you post on my Facebook page just because you need someone to talk to. And that's all right. Like Scott, Michigan fan, the madness is real. I hope it will last. Go blue. I get it. Sometimes we just need to share the tension. It makes us feel a little bit better. So for Loyola Chicago, early on, there was a lot of tension. The Ramblers get behind Nevada, Eric Musselman and Nevada Wolfpack by 12. They didn't play defense. I don't know if it was because they were nervous, and I wouldn't blame them at all. You're talking about the Sweet 16, for heaven's sakes. But once they started to focus on the defense, the Ramblers get up off the mat after that initial punch. And the defense is so good that the Wolfpack go nearly 8 minutes without a point. That's nuts. They took a lot of ill-advised shots, though. They took a bunch of threes that they didn't need to take. They've got athletes like Caleb and Kobe Martin. Cody Martin, who can drive to the hoop. They've got Jordan Caroline, who is a load. They've got guys who are athletes. They were blocking shots. But for some reason, they just couldn't get inside on the other end. Or they just didn't. They settled for three after three after three, and they were not dropping. And so they go nearly 8 minutes toward the end of the first half without a bucket. And from down 12, Loyola Chicago then is up 4 at the break. And it continues that way in the second half for a good portion of that second period. The Ramblers, listen to this. They start the second half 13 for 13. They make their first 13 shots in the second half. But, you know, this is the Wolfpack, and what do we see them do? Last weekend, they rallied from 14 down against Texas to force overtime and then win, and came back from 22 down against Cincinnati. So nothing new for them. They're comfortable with comebacks. And they did have a 12-2 run that tied it with 4 minutes to go. So third straight game for Musselman's team in which they rallied from at least 12 points down. But a common theme that you could see over and over and over again is that Loyola would get to the hoop and have a layup. It was a lack of communication on defense. There were a bunch of breakdowns for the Wolfpack on defense. And it's excruciating when you feel like you're expending so much energy. And then at the last second, your two guys run into each other. Or one of them runs into a screen because nobody's talking, and it seemed to happen over and over. There are a couple of back screens I can remember set by the Ramblers, and there's no communication, and the Pack players just, boom, right into it. And the Rambler would then just go onto the hoop and have a wide-open layup. Too many wide-open shots for a game in the Sweet 16. However, there was going to be drama because this is Loyola Chicago, and all three of their games so far in the NCAA tournament, like, we're talking about combined. They've won them all by a combined 4 points. just nutso, but awesome. Because it builds confidence for them, and it encourages them to stick with the program and make sure that they do follow the plan and they follow what their coaches are telling them.
Now he drives right of the lane. Dishes outside to Richardson. Richardson gets inside, feeds it to Jackson for an easy deuce. Seven to shoot, 12 to play. Custer still up top. Now he drives, passes to the corner. Towns dribbles and fires a three, and he got it. 6 seconds left. Richardson gets it in, and the horn sounds. That's it. And Cinderella will continue to dance. Loyola is off to the Elite Eight.
Pretty awesome. Another Loyola Chicago moment to remember. I can tick them off in my brain. The memories are still really sharp. We had the Dante Ingram buzzer beater, which, by the way, came on a pass from Marcus Towns when they had 9 seconds to go and they have to go the length of the court. It's Towns that passes to his teammate Ingram, who then hits the three with 0.3 seconds to go. Then we had the Clayton Custer jumper that gets the shooter's roll with 3.5 seconds left on the clock. Their second miracle. That was to get to the Sweet 16. And then in this game, as you hear with Brandon Gaudin on the Westwood One Radio Network, Clayton Custer kind of dives inside. He's moving around. He's trying to get the defense to chase. Trying to take the defense away from Marcus Towns, who he finds on the wing. Towns with this awesome ball fake, sidesteps to the left, and actually his momentum carries him over to the left. So he's falling away to the left after he shoots this three. But it goes down with 6 seconds left. Right wing triple, 6 seconds to go. And even though there was a late attempt by Nevada, it wasn't a great look. And so 69-68 is the final for the Ramblers. And I'm not kidding. You can go back and you can check the finals. But it's all miracle moments for them. And Towns is the one who hits the big triple. But they've won their three games to reach the Elite Eight by a combined 4 points.
Guy came flying at me. I just gave him a little shot fake. And I shot it. And it went in. And it was just, I mean, that's something you dream about. You're in the Sweet 16. You hit a big shot like that. It just, I mean, it's just amazing.
They don't quit. They're resilient. It's different guys, different nights. You saw Dante make a shot, then Clay make a shot, and then Andre and Marcus down the stretch with the free throws, with the big three, with Marcus with the big three. It's been this way all year long.
This is how they win games. They're not a team that's going to blow you out, especially not at this level. And so we've now seen three incredible finishes for Loyola Chicago. And they are into the Elite Eight for the first time in 33 years, right? So 1985 was the last time they had a run like this. And they apparently had members of that team who were there. Pretty cool. Sister Jean, she's part of all of it, of course. So we'll have to hear from her again a little bit later on. But congratulations to the Ramblers as an 11 seed will take on Kansas State, a 9 seed. It's never happened before that a regional final is between a 9 and an 11. The madness indeed. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It is a Facepalm Friday, so we'll get to that as well. But straight ahead, Jim Jackson, former NBA player and Ohio State alum, was part of the Westwood One broadcast in Los Angeles at that regional semifinal doubleheader. And so he will join us straight ahead to talk about Michigan as well as Florida State.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Simpson lane to the floor, lays it in. He went past three defenders. It's 64-39, Michigan.
Too easy.
Matthews left corner, jab step against Davis. 7 on the shot clock. Matthews in the paint. His fadeaway jumper is good. He banked it home.
He didn't call it. He didn't call it. He's laughing right now. Hey, listen, it's like my putter. It doesn't matter how it goes in. I count it.
Matthews comes out of it for Michigan. Outlet pass to Abdul Rahman. Bounce pass to Wagner. Two-handed jam! C.J. Barrett is telling the crowd to come onto their feet.
I love it.
The Michigan Wolverines have defeated Texas A&M 99-72 to advance to its third Elite Eight in the last 6 years.
We're a very confident team, and I think that's all that matters. We've been playing within ourselves all year and not looking at the opponent too much. We've been believing all year that we can beat anyone if we play our best basketball.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mo Wagner, German native. His entire family was up having a watch party, even though it was the wee hours of the morning, and the game was airing in local bars in his hometown. He had 21 points, 3 for 3 from downtown, and you hear him talk about the big victory that Michigan had over Texas A&M once this game was over. So Michigan returns to the regional final in Los Angeles coming up on Saturday and will play the number 9 seed Florida State. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Your reactions to the resumption of the madness on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Tom McCarthy, Jim Jackson with the calls on the Westwood One Radio Network. And from Los Angeles, Jim Jackson joins us now, a 14-year NBA veteran, also a product of The Ohio State University with some tournament games on his resume. Jim, let's start with the Wolverines. What impressed you most about Michigan in that first game you saw tonight?
Well, I mean, a couple things. One, I'm so accustomed to watching Michigan play in regards to them being on fire like we saw tonight. I mean, the two previous games, they didn't shoot the ball well from three, but their defense has been really carrying us, in particular their rebounding on the defensive end. Just something they're really taking pride in. Each player, the coaching staff, the way they designed their schematically against their opponents has been great. But also, I'm going to tell you what I've really felt good about when I watched was the ability for that team to kind of get Mo Wagner involved early. I think a couple of layups early got him a little bit more relaxed. I believe the pressure was off of him a little bit, and he played. Like this Michigan team is fun to watch when they get it rolling.
How does having a Mo Wagner who can step out and hit threes, and he was 3 for 3 in this game against the Aggies, how does that change what a defense can do against a particular opponent?
Well, if you look at their starting five outside of Xavier Simpson, if you put Mo Wagner out there, you have four guys who could basically step out and shoot a three. Wagner has the ability also to put it on the deck and beat you. He saw the behind-the-back move in the game as well. So not only his three-point shooting, it's his ability to make plays, to make the defense have to honor him from a one-on-one perspective. But when he's knocking it down like he was early in the game, it forces the opposing post player to have to come out the paint, play defense, and that just opens it up for offensive rebounds for Michigan.
You spent 14 years in the NBA. You went to Ohio State. I'm sure at some point, maybe many times, you had a game like that where everything was going right. All the shots were dropping, it felt like. No matter who stepped up and took a shot, it was good. What does that feel like? What Michigan experienced tonight?
I mean, it's awesome, baby. And you don't. It's not something that you prepare for. I've been in a few games where it's just been rolling, where you feel something before that it may be different. But it's sometimes where I felt terrible before a game and didn't feel like I had any rhythm. But once the game started, because probably I was so relaxed, it just happened. But give Michigan a lot of credit. One, they pass the ball extremely well. So as a shooter, when the ball is coming to his teammates, it's coming on time, on target, in the shooting pocket, guys were just squaring up, catching the shooting, and letting it go.
What makes Coach Beilein such a consistent, solid, steady, successful coach?
Well, one is his communication with his teammates to get them to understand what they need to do, his game planning, his adjustments, his attention to detail. More importantly, his mind as far as how to use his offense, how to manipulate the system, how to put his players in positions that they're most comfortable in. I mean, it's unbelievable the offensive machine and mentality that he has. And where I really gained the most respect is when he kind of dismantled that Syracuse zone defense back in 2014. I mean, I was watching that with just in awe that nobody was able to kind of crack the code consistently, and John Beilein was the guy that did it.
Jim Jackson, fresh off the Westwood One broadcast of the West semifinals, where Michigan put on a clinic against Texas A&M, and then Florida State never really allowed Gonzaga to get off the mat. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So let's talk about Florida State. How did that defense put the clamps on the Bulldogs?
Well, I think it was more so just the number of bodies And Leonard Hamilton said, listen, a lot of teams, including this Gonzaga team, their top seven players are probably better than us. He said, but our top 11 are better than their top 11, than their 11, meaning that he can go deep into the bench. And what they do is they apply pressure throughout the course of the game. May not affect you early, but midway through that first half, late in the first half, it affects you. Late in the second half or midway second half, it affects you. You had 30 points off the bench. So 30 points out of their 75 points were scored off the bench, okay? So it just wears you down. They're long. They're athletic. And the Zags, to their credit, they tried, but their lack of three-point shooting, and then Killian didn't play. I mean, Killian didn't play. So that just took a 6'10 body off of the map. A guy that could score but also could provide some kind of presence inside defensively. Killian Tilly. I was going back and forth with his name. Unbelievable. Long day.
A long day, lots of names. I do it all the time. For the Seminoles, you mentioned Leonard Hamilton having a bench that can go 10 or 11 deep. How rare is that in college basketball?
Oh, it's rare because most guys are going to play with eight players at the most, maybe nine. But Leonard Hamilton understands his program is different. He's in the ACC. He's not a blue blood like North Carolina, Duke, you know, teams like that, even in North Carolina State, Syracuse. He's not those. He understands who he is. And this is the format. He did it when he was at Miami. So this is nothing new for him. He's just able now to be able to have the athletes and the talented players on the national level once again for him, to show everybody that his system, the way he works it, works for him.
Jim, I know that you were busy with Los Angeles and didn't have a lot of time to watch the other side, but just the idea of the South having a 9 and an 11 still standing as we get to the regional final coming up on Saturday, what's your reaction to that?
Well, you saw it coming. I mean, over the last 5 to 8 years in college basketball, the gap has closed regards to talent, because the one and done top players leave after maybe their first or second year. So it's not that division of top tier talent versus some mid-major teams that couldn't compete. You got juniors and seniors like the Loyola Chicago team. They won 29 games, okay? They beat a Miami team on the road. They won the conference championship. They have juniors and seniors that are they're grizzled veterans that are not afraid of the big moment. So now you put them on a big stage against a team that's supposed to win, they're out to prove a point. And then the closer they keep it, the more pressure goes on the team that was supposed to win, not at Loyola. So I'm not surprised at all, especially by how the college season was, what we saw, how it transpired throughout the course of the year. We're really not having a dominant team.
From Westwood One and also from the Big East Network, Jim Jackson with us in Los Angeles after the regional semifinals won by Florida State and Michigan. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Whether it's a mid-major like Loyola that hasn't done anything like this since 85, or whether it's a power conference team that makes a surprise run like a Florida State or a Kansas State, what does it mean to a school, to its program, to get to this point in the tournament when you are literally one of the last eight teams standing?
Well, it's unbelievable, especially when you weren't projected to get there. I mean, it's something that, you know, it's almost like, okay, back in the day, it was like, okay, you needed to get to a bowl game to be successful in college football, okay? You need to be one of those last teams playing, you know, after the first of the year or after Christmas, and it means something. And here, with a one-game elimination, be able to play, to be able to be the intestinal fortitude to fight through as an underdog, to prove yourself, it means a lot. And it's funny because, you know, the alumni, the fans, and even people who are novice basketball fans watch games and end up pulling for the underdog or the Cinderella, so to speak. So it's a phenomenal thing, and it means so much to the player to be able to experience that, because a lot of these teams, you know, they watch it on TV and they never imagined that their school, Loyola, would be there. For years they've watched, you know, one shining moment. I wonder what that would feel like. Well, now they're getting the opportunity to experience, and good for them.
Very often we hear about L.A. Being a pro sports town, though they do have USC, UCLA that they root for. But I'm wondering, how was the crowd? What was the atmosphere like there in Los Angeles for these two games on Thursday night?
Well, I'll take pride in this in regards to Big Ten representing, because the Michigan fans came out in full force. It was
awesome.
I mean, it was unbelievable. But also, Gonzaga had a great contingency because they're not too far from Spokane, Washington came in. This is a pro sports town, but they came out. You had a lot of people up top in the rafter section cheering. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how the crowd is this coming Saturday.
Cool. Before I let you go, you also part of the Big East Network. What makes Villanova so dangerous this year?
They got five guys that spread you out that can shoot it. I mean, Amari Spellman, Eric Paschal, two centers, forwards that can stretch it. Probably the best player in the country in Jalen Brunson. Mikal Bridges, probably first-team All-American, high draft pick. The bench is not as deep, but they know how to play high IQ players. Jay Wright, understanding his team, the mentality it takes to win a national championship. They share the basketball. They play defense. They do all the little things it takes to win basketball games. And more importantly, they trust each other as a team. They believe in each other. They support each other. When you have that kind of combination, you know, anybody can get beat, but it makes it extremely difficult to beat a team like that.
Mm. Jim, considering that you also do NBA analysis, do you ever get a break this time of the year?
What break? What are you talking about? It's all basketball, baby. It's all basketball.
You start to dream about it, don't you? I do.
Well, I tell you what, anytime it gets around the Elite Eight, sometimes they show our game against Michigan where we lost. And I'm sitting there watching this classic game hoping for a different outcome, but it never changes.
Yeah.
We always lose. So I get a little antsy around this time of year.
It is the thrill of victory, but the agony of defeat for sure.
Listen, 67 teams will experience agony of defeat.
That's right.
There's only
year.
One that's going to walk away. You can,
that's right. You can follow Jim on Twitter at JimJackson419, not only from The Ohio State University, but also an NBA veteran of 14 years and just done with the Westwood One broadcast from Los Angeles and that West Regional. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes, Jim. Great to talk to you.
No, great talking to you too. Enjoy the games.
We are, Jim. Thank you so much. Yeah, I love to hear him talk about that zone the Wolverines found themselves in and how it's so much fun to play basketball. Heck, it's so much fun to watch basketball when a team is in that kind of a zone. And to see the Wolverines launch threes, they had a bunch of different guys who made threes. I think they had 14 total. And it's not about Texas A&M, so this is not about putting down the Aggies. The Aggies had an incredible moment, their moment when they ousted the defending champion North Carolina Tar Heels and did it in such a way that they dominated in the paint and really used their height advantage. Well, Michigan just had them all spread out, and that's kind of the issue is when you play a Michigan who had not shot the three ball well. Coming into this game, as Jim Jackson points out, in the first two games of the tournament, the Wolverines only shot 28% from downtown. So for them, this is a bit of a relief and a release to finally settle into a groove where they were feeling like it was home. Okay, we're comfortable with this. This is where we belong. But it hadn't been that way the entire time. And really having Wagner, who can step out way out on the three-point line, pull some of that height and that length away from the hoop for Texas A&M. It's always difficult when you have a big man who can shoot, because if you don't follow him out to the three-point line, he's going to burn you. If you do, well, then he can go inside too, which he did because we saw him dunk. March Madness is back. Tune in all week to TBS, CBS, TNT, True TV, On the Go with March Madness Live, or listen on Westwood One. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.